This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. When we talk about nurturing a love of books, we often think first of kids. That makes sense because good habits that last typically start young. We also tend to associate literacy with the ability to read and to imagine it as a skill that's about individual capacity. But for Metro East resident Linda Mitchell, literacy encompasses much more, specifically whole families. And she joins us today to share why. Linda Mitchell, founder and executive director of the Metro East Literacy Project. Welcome to the program.
I am thrilled to be here, Elaine. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, we're happy to have you here. And talking about time and what you've been doing, understand that in 2012 is when you got the idea to kind of start this project. You became a nonprofit in 2019. But what was that inspiration for beginning this nonprofit?
Well, it was a convergence of things. First, I grew up with an illiterate maternal grandmother. Couldn't read, write, add, or subtract. And that was disturbing to me when I found that out. Mm-hmm. Then later on in graduate school, I learned of a very disturbing stat that 67% of our children nationwide, locally, were not reading on grade level by the time they were entering fourth grade. And that was appalling to me, and I wanted to do something about that.
Going back to your maternal grandmother, did you see any of, you know, the struggles that she had because she was not able to read, you know, letters or, you know, work with numbers?
Actually, I did not, because I didn't learn that she was illiterate until I was an adult, and my mother told me, and then it made sense why when she would come over to visit, my mother was reading letters to her. Mm-hmm. As a little six-year-old, I'd peek into the room and just, why is my mother reading to her? And she later told me as an adult that she could not read, write, add, or subtract. Yes.
The way that people share stories about reading, about literacy, is also part of why you're doing the work that you're doing, right?
Yes.
What kinds of stories have you heard from people about the way that literacy and lack of literacy broadly has impacted people's experiences?
Well, I feel a lot of compassion for people who aren't able to read or write, because I see the struggles that they have in life. And I've tutored adults, 62 people in their 60s or 80s, 62-year-old men who were passed through school because they were great athletes. And I've tried to help them. But sometimes at that point, they're almost giving up. And so I wasn't able to fully help them learn to read. And then I've also tutored young people who were trying to get into the military or some other program, but they could not pass the exam. And so I've tried to help them as well. Mm-hmm. It's really challenging. I think people suffer because our world, our area, is the world is all based in reading.
Mm-hmm. When you started in 2012, what was your first step? What was the first thing that you did?
It was so simple. $10 to get a certificate from the state of Illinois and four board of directors, my son, my daughter, my daughter-in-law, myself. That's all that was required to become a nonprofit and registered with the state of Illinois. But then from there, I just started speaking to organizations, parent groups, about the importance of literacy. And that just became a launching pad for me. And I had also written a little children's book about social emotional learning. That was a launching pad that gave me an audience. But then in graduate school, I had done so much research on the importance of reading. And I formulated the five pillars of family literacy. And one of them really jumped out at me. And that was, if kids, families have books in the home, then those children are likely to advance in education compared to a family that has no books.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I can do that. I can get books in a home.
Metro East Literacy Project's signature program, if you will, involves distributing books to families in communities in southern Illinois. And Lindsay Davis Rutan of Fairview Heights said that the Metro East Literacy Project provided her, as a parent, with something that she couldn't provide her daughter several years ago, and there's books to keep at home.
The very first time we heard about the program, it was a very vulnerable time for me. I was a newly single mom of a special needs child. Didn't have a lot of financial resources. We had access to the library for books, and my daughter loves to be read to and to read. But that was like the first time she was really able to say, "Mom, this is my book and I get to keep it. I don't have to take it back." So it was very important for me to be able to start her own little mini library for herself, books she could read to herself every single night and not have to give back, you know, at the end of a week or two.
Lindsay Davis Rutan said that one book in particular helped them build a practice of reading together.
Her very first chapter book she ever read was through Melps, which was actually Harry Potter, the very first book. And so to see her like go and we'd read like a chapter a day and be able to conquer, like for her age, she was in first grade when she read that. So for me, you know, I'd help her through the more difficult words, but seeing her open and visualize this whole magical world, it was really inspiring as a parent at the time, you know, to see her not just read like a little board book, but actually want to do a full chapter book.
But other books that were in that bag that she received from the Metro East Literacy Project were a cookbook and a coffee table book about the artist Claude Monet, and they provided a way to explore more than new vocabulary. They took Davis Rutan and her daughter into the kitchen and into the world of fine arts.
But she's also taken a liking into cooking. It's not just our reading literacy that it's expanded, because we've tried a bunch of new recipes I probably wouldn't have tried before. She's learned to crack an egg since diving into our cookbook. We also have a really cool, that was like the coffee table book, they called it. And it's a full, almost documentary style book about Monet, and it has every one of his paintings, and some of them fold out and are 3 pages long. So it's also broadened my daughter's horizons into artwork.
So Linda, that's quite a lot that we heard, but what stands out to you about what Lindsay has said there and what you set out to do?
The books, the bag of books, she describes exactly the impact that I'm looking for. Children, families are discovering together the power of reading, and I believe one book can change your life. Who knows? Nola, the daughter, may become a chef because she was so intrigued by that cookbook. But in our bags, we do give a wide range of genres so that people can discover just different things, yes.
You talked about your graduate study a couple of times. Was there something that you learned in your graduate studies that has guided your choice of books that you put into these bags?
Yes. That parents also need to be reading, that modeling factor. And that's where I came up with the Imitate Reading Initiative, because one of my pillars was that it's so important for the child to see the parent reading as well. And there's lots of research about that. But the conventional wisdom, of course, is you read a book to your child at bedtime. And of course, I want parents to do that. But it's also powerful when a child sees you reading, because then you're building the culture. This is a family that read. This is what we do. And so I learned about that.
What are some of the stories that you've heard from people about the books that have been put into these bags? And there are 25 books that go in them each time, about the books that were meant for adults, you know, and how that affected you know, the kinds of interactions that we heard Lindsay Davis Rutan talk about maybe how they have how they've gotten into content in books that were meant for grown-ups.
Oh, I've heard lots of stories. In fact, that's what we do at the Metro East Literacy Project. We don't want to just hand the family a bag of books and say bye and we never hear from them. We follow them along in their literacy journey, and we ask them to give us videos and comments. And we've gotten lots of great feedback about how the books are allowing them to have the parents and child to have like snuggle time together. I had one father report that, oh, now I have to read a bedtime story to my kid every day because they're just so hooked on these books. And I said, well, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite stories is where I took a bag of books to a mom. She said her daughter had just came home with a note from her teacher to read certain books, and she didn't have any books at home. And I brought that bag of books in the nick of time. I just love that.
Mm-hmm. How many families don't have books at home? I mean, what is your sense of that?
You know,
and why that's the case?
Well, books are not food. It's typical Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You want to feed your family first. I know books are important. They feed your mind and your soul and your spirit. But in actuality, the families I target may not have the disposable income to go and buy a book. So we target communities that are so-called book deserts. And I don't mean just not having a library, but I mean the homes may also be book deserts. And that data's out there from Unite for Literacy. They have a heat map showing percentages of families. There's the green zone, the red zone, and it shows. So I go by that. I look at data. I look at the Illinois report card to see what communities where the students are not reading on grade level. And those are the communities that I target.
Mm-hmm. Something also that occurs to me is that we can talk about libraries and mm-hmm. it's, you know, access that is free, but sometimes there are schedules that the adults in a household are tied to because of their work. So the kids can't get to the library either.
Right. And not only that, transportation issues, all kinds of issues about getting to libraries. And so glad you're bringing that up.
Mm-hmm.
Shameless plug, September's National Library Month. So if people can get library cards, there's also so many things that are available at the library.
Mm-hmm. We're talking today with Linda Mitchell. She's the founder and executive director of the Metro East Literacy Project. And its focus is not only on literacy for children, but on supporting and cultivating a family culture of reading and literacy. You mentioned earlier, Linda, the Imitate Reading Initiative. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the particulars of that and how it has developed over time.
Well, it's really a mindset, a movement. It's just an idea that I'm trying to get across, that it's so important for us to not just tell a child to read a book, but they never see us as adults reading a book or a magazine or whatever it is. So it's just trying to shift the idea that, you know what, I'm the model. I'm going to create the culture in my home. This is going to be the identity of my home. So the Imitate Reading Initiative starts top down with the adults and caregivers. Let the child see you flipping through a magazine or a book. Then that is sending a message that we are a reading family. Reading is important. And so that's why I try to promote that idea that imitate, let the child see you do reading.
Mm-hmm. You're wearing today a t-shirt, and it says Erudite Nation.
Absolutely.
Tell me about this t-shirt and how it represents the work that the Metro East Literacy Project is doing.
Elaine, I don't know how this idea came to me, but Erudite Nation means, that word means that you're educated, literate, knowledgeable, learned, scholarly, well-read, and lettered. It's a mindset. It's a declaration that our families to have, that you can change your life Our motto is Literacy is Liberation. So anytime a family gets a bag of books, they are automatically enrolled in Erudite Nation. That means they're going to get follow-up messages, Freedom Friday messages. They're going to get any type of support that they would need.
What kinds of partnerships, because you mentioned partnerships earlier, what are the partnerships or collaborations that you have done in order to advance this work?
Well, I love that the Metro East Literacy Project does not use its scarce resources, I should say, to purchase books, because the community, homes have books. People's homes are treasure troves of books. So all of our books are, 99% of our books are donated. Mm-hmm. Secondly, our partners are child care providers, churches, community organizations, where we have book giveaways. And that's what we're looking for, more of those partners, so we can reach the 47,000 homes over in Illinois that we want to reach, more than that, but we want to reach out to those communities.
The impact of the work you all are doing, again, we spoke with Fairview Heights resident Lindsay Davis-Rutan about impact, and that first bag of books she received from your organization, that impact continues, and that's in the bookcase her daughter now has at home. And Davis-Rutan is grateful not only for the books she's received, but also the support she felt in a time of challenging circumstances.
We're no longer in a financially destitute place. So anytime I can, I love to take her to the bookstore to get new books. I buy them on Amazon. We still do the library, which is her favorite place to go. But we now each have our own bookshelves. So I have one in my office, and then she has a smaller one next to it. I think it's important for people to realize that there's all kinds of walks of people in our life, and you should never be ashamed to ask for help. And they never made me feel shameful for getting a free bag of books. They were very supportive of me. We actually got a second bag of books 3 years later, I think, which was like last year, I think. That it's just been a really phenomenal resource for our family in what had been a struggling time. And I want people to know that they're there for you, that they helped us in a dark place and helped bring a little light into our world.
Linda, what are some of the misconceptions that people may have about those who are coming for the books that you're giving out?
I really haven't heard that kind of negative talk about the people we serve. Mm-hmm. Our community over in Illinois is so helpful. Everywhere I turn, I see organizations trying to lift people up. So if there is chatter about that, I don't engage in that. I love the people that we serve, and everybody starts somewhere. And reading literacy can lift us up. So if there is that negativity about the people we serve, I'm not going to address it. I'm not going to participate in it.
Mm-hmm. I also spoke with Valerie Young, and she's someone who is a member of the community. She described coming upon what the Missouri Metro East Literacy Project was doing when she visited a library in Collinsville, and that ultimately led to partnership also with a young person.
Yes.
Her son. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, her son is amazing. He was trying to get his Eagle badge. And because we had given their family a bag of books several years ago, we just continued our partnership. And he chose the Metro East Literacy Project to be his Eagle project. And he interviewed me. We shared about the importance of literacy. And it's been a great partnership with Valerie and her son. She's a veteran. She had the veterans come over on Veterans Day of Service. It's just been a wonderful partnership. I love to see the young people get involved.
Mm-hmm. You had spoken earlier about some of the older people you have worked with. And kitchen table tutoring is another component of what your organization offers.
Yes.
What does that look like? Tell us how it looks first.
Kitchen table tutoring is our branding for the tutoring program, where I'm either at my kitchen table with a child and an adult, or I'm at someone else's kitchen table, or a library, or Billy's Pastries, or somewhere in a safe space. But the beautiful thing about it, Elaine, is having the child and the adult together, learning together. Because the adult has the aha moments when they're learning and seeing maybe some of the gaps in what their child is struggling with, or maybe they're learning themselves things that they didn't know about how to read. So, I mean, imagine a parent going to school with a child and how that reinforcement would help their education. So it's a microcosm of that, where the parent and child are learning together, and it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. On September 12th, you'll be doing a book distribution event.
Yes.
Where will that be taking place?
I love this. This is a new partnership. I get these phone calls. Would you like to be a vendor? So this is at Love Church in Belleville. And I'm going to give out bags of books to people who come. I think it's a resource fair is what they're calling it. And I'm going to demonstrate what I teach during kitchen table tutoring. So that's going to be a wonderful event on Saturday, September 12th.
Mm-hmm. And just as we close here, what are you hoping to achieve, you know, over the next few years?
My dreams are so big, I'm scared of them myself. But I love it that we have new board members who are so talented and who are ready to take MELP to the next level. We're going to launch a mascot. We're going to have an annual literacy award. We're going to have a signature fundraiser. So we have lots of things that we want to do to spread awareness about literacy and help other people lift themselves up through literacy. Our motto is literacy is liberation. It takes you higher.
Mm-hmm. And is there one last message you'd like to give to those listening today?
That last message.
Mm-hmm.
Literacy is liberation. It takes you higher. It's freedom.
Linda Mitchell is the founder and executive director of the Metro East Literacy Project. Linda, thank you so much for joining us today, and stay safe out in that heat.
It's been my pleasure, Elaine. Thank you so much.
This episode was produced by Elaine Cha. Production assistance from Maya Norfleet.
Audio engineering by Emily Woodbury.
This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron Doerr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.